You know, guys, I love the stories in the Bible where people have to make a choice to either go with the crowd or go with God. The stories where somebody's challenged to look popular or look like a fool, to be quiet or to speak up. The stories where people are challenged to do what is comfortable or take a risk, to do what's convenient or do what is right. To me, some of the most interesting stories in the Bible are the ones that talk about the different people that did things that made absolutely no sense whatsoever, yet they done it anyway because they had faith in God. I love just sitting and thinking about what must have went through their minds of those who just simply did what God called them to do, even though it seemed completely impossible. I like to put myself in their shoes, and I like to ask myself, would I have responded the way they did? And so as we take a look at Noah this morning, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, if God asked me to do what He asked Noah to do, how would I have responded? Our text this morning is located in the chapter that has been nicknamed the Hall of Faith, which is Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we've been there a couple weeks. I knew you guys would get that one. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. And we're not going to pick on Terry this morning. You had that lined up, didn't you? He's been rehearsing that all week. I'm there. Hebrews chapter 11. Are we there? You better be, because Terry is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I know the women on Thursday nights know this name. Chip Ingram. All right, maybe most of you do. He's a pastor. He says this. Faith is operating on the reality that we know to be true, even though we don't see it. Faith is being certain of an invisible reality and acting on it. Kind of makes me think of verse 1 there. Let's go to 2 and 3. This is what the ancients, that's a reference to these following Old Testament characters we'll be looking at. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Verse 3 does two things for us. Number 1, it gives us a starting point for our faith, which is creation. Number 2, it gives us the object of our faith, which is God. See, if a person is absolutely certain that God spoke all things into creation, if He took and spoke everything into existence out of nothing, then they will be more than likely ready to believe that He is able to do something even though it seems impossible. They will be more likely to believe that He is able to do something with what is already in existence. If God can do something with something that is invisible, if that's possible to have something that is invisible, what can He do with things that are already visible? If God can do something good with nothing, what can He do with something? It was absolutely essential that the character that we'll be looking at this morning believe verse 3 with all of his heart. Because he needed to believe that God could recreate everything after He destroyed it. Let's look at verse 7. Let's pick on Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I've read on Noah many times down through the years. I've taught on Noah several times. We've been looking at Noah for several weeks now, just on Wednesday nights. And his story of faith to me is absolutely amazing. We've been studying the story of Noah, like I said, on Wednesday nights for a few weeks. And I've just come to conclude that what you can learn from his story is basically endless. And I think Wednesday night crowd would probably tell you that as they sleep through the third, fourth, and fifth week of this thing. Most people have a general knowledge of what the story of Noah is all about. And so I don't want to read for you everything written in Scripture about this story, but I do want to read you a few select verses. And you don't need to turn there, but the story of Noah and the flood, I would encourage you to read it this week. It's going to be found in the book of Genesis chapter 6 through 9. So why don't you take a look at it this week? I'm sure it'll challenge your faith. Let me just set the stage for you here. Sin and wickedness had gotten so out of control in Noah's day that it was the driving force behind everyone's desires, their thoughts, their actions. Evil had permeated every corner of society. And it says that God was grieved, meaning that he was sorry that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so God decided that he would plead with man for another 120 years to change their ways. And at the end of that 120 years, he was going to pour his wrath out upon the earth. But Scripture says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people, and he walked with God. And then we're told that God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth." He told Noah, he said, "I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish." Then God went on to tell Noah, "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood." And from there, God goes on and he gives him the dimensions to build the ark and the material list. After that, God told Noah, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." And then it says, Noah did everything as God commanded him. Folks, God telling Noah to build an ark would have been like telling Christopher Columbus to build a 747. What God was telling Noah to do had never been done. What God said he was going to do had never been done. Everything God told Noah made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And if Noah chose to obey God, he was going to look like a complete fool to everybody else. But yet it says that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Remember what it said back in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, built an ark. What's those things that are not yet seen that Noah was warned about? The flood, number one. Noah was 480 years old when God approached him. Scripture indicates that they had not even had rain yet, let alone a flood. The earth was approximately 1,500 plus years old. There had never been a flood, let alone a worldwide flood. And so here God told Noah there was a flood that was going to come, but yet Noah had never heard of nor ever seen a flood. Something else God warned Noah about that was never seen was the judgment that would wipe out every man, every living creature on the face of the earth. Again, in Noah's 480 years of being alive, he had never witnessed a worldwide judgment. In the 1,500 plus years the earth had been in existence, there had never been a worldwide judgment that wiped out all of mankind. And so here's God telling Noah, "Noah, I'm going to put an end to all living things, both man and animals. And I will do this by sending floodwaters upon the earth. And so Noah, you need to build yourself an ark for you and your family, because you will be the only ones that I will find worthy to save from my judgment." And it says Noah got busy building the ark. Now let me ask you something here. Let me add something here. It's believed that Noah possibly lived in the area called Mesopotamia, which we know today to be the Iran-Iraq area in that region. Last time I checked, I know the flood changed a few things, but there's really not much use for a boat there. Especially a boat 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. Folks, Noah was not sitting seaside by the seashore when God called him to build something that he had never seen in a location that made zero sense for the reasons Noah did not fully understand. And so Noah had to have looked like a complete moron. I mean, first of all, here he is building a boat the size of 1.5 football fields in length on dry land with no water nearby. And let me add, no power tools to go along with it. Secondly, when the people asked him what he was doing, his response would have only enhanced his foolishness. People would see him working and say, "Hey, Noah, what are you doing?" Noah would look at him and say something like, "Oh, hey, guys, what am I doing? Well, God told me to build this thing called an ark. Man, this thing's going to be huge, guys. This thing's going to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall." And they probably responded back like, "What? Have you lost your mind, Noah? First of all, you've never built anything like that before. You're not a carpenter. And secondly, how do you think you're ever going to build something that big by yourself? And besides, why in the world would God have you build something like that out here, miles away from the nearest sea?" "Well," Noah would say, "to be quite honest with you guys, I know this sounds kind of foolish, but God told me he is grieved over how sin and wickedness is in the world. And so he said that he's going to bring a judgment on all of mankind by sending a worldwide flood that is going to wipe out all living things." And Noah would go on and continue, and he'd say, "But God said, since I've placed my faith in him, he has told me to build the ark big enough that it will hold my family and a couple of the animals from all the different species. Therefore, when he judges the earth, me and my family will be saved." And he'd go on, he'd say, "But let me tell you something, guys. God loves you so much that if you will turn from your sin and place your faith in him, you will be allowed to enter the ark to be saved from the coming judgment also." Most of you know Noah has been titled the preacher of righteousness. As Noah built the ark, he would preach righteousness to those who would come and say, "What are you up to?" He would warn them about the things not yet seen, such as God's judgment through the flood. And so Noah built the ark by faith, and it gave him opportunities to preach by faith. See, faith is not just believing in God. Faith is believing God. Faith believes what God says, what he says, even when what he says seems unlikely, unreasonable, and impossible. Faith is believing in what God says to such a degree that it produces an internal conviction that leads to external actions. In Noah's case, his faith led him to spend decades building something that seemed foolish to everybody else, while giving him the courage to tell others about the coming judgment. Now, I want to point out a couple of things here that sometimes we just miss when we read this story. Typically, when we think of Noah and his faith, we always think about him building the ark and preaching to the crowds. But there are some other things that Noah does here in faith in this story that we don't often catch. For example, when God got done telling Noah about building the ark because he was going to wipe mankind out with a worldwide flood, Noah, by faith, had to go home and tell his wife what was going on. As Noah's heading home that day after talking with God, he's probably thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to tell my wife? She's going to think I'm a nut. Guys, let me tell you, it's one thing to go home and tell your wife you're going to buy a bass boat, but it's quite another thing to go home and tell your wife you're going to build a ship 450 feet long because God's going to send the flood to judge the world. Then you add to that, he had to tell her they was going to be responsible for repopulating the earth. And then after about an hour convincing her to buy into that stuff, he had to slide in that part that there will be taking thousands and thousands of animals with them. That's my story and I'm sticking to it kind of thing. I remember when Vic and I lived out in California, and I told her, I said, you know, Vic, I believe God's calling us to go back to Southwest Ohio and start a church, and she just kind of rolled her eyes. And so I can't even imagine what Noah's wife is thinking in this. And so sometimes doing something in faith means you might have to tell those closest to you what God is calling you to do, even when it means they might have a hard time swallowing it. But do you know something? I bet when that whole flood thing was over, Noah's wife was extremely glad that her husband was willing to walk in faith and build an ark. Amen? Here's another act of faith in this story that I don't think we often think about. By faith, Noah cut down the very first tree. Out of the thousands of trees that Noah was going to be cutting down in the decades to come, it would have been that first one that he cut down by faith. As Noah's walking around in the woods, he's looking for that perfect tree to cut down. He raised up that axe to swing it. He was walking in faith. The whole reason he cut down that first tree, folks, was because he believed what God had told him, even though it didn't make any sense. I'm going to begin to wind this down by giving you some miscellaneous insights to this story. Walking in faith does not mean that God does everything for us just because we believe in Him. Instead, many times, walking in faith means we do our part, and then God will do His part. God had given Noah some outlandish instructions and some unbelievable promises. But if Noah would not have done his part, God would not have fulfilled His promises. Understand that God did not call Noah to build the ark because Noah was sitting around bored at 480 years old and didn't have anything to do. I mean, it's quite normal, folks, for God to call us to do something when we least expect it. God usually will show up in our busiest times of our lives because it will challenge us in faith to rearrange our priorities. Understand that God did not call Noah to build an ark because he was an experienced shipbuilder. He called Noah because Noah was found to be righteous and blameless. Folks, it's customary for God to call His people to do something in faith that they have zero experience in doing, because it causes them to lean on Him instead of their own experiences and abilities. There's an old saying, maybe some of you have heard it before, but I think it's well worth repeating and well worth remembering when it comes to walking in faith, and that's this. Don't be afraid to try something new. Professionals built the Titanic, Noah built the ark. Notice that Noah did not ask God if there was another way to solve this issue. Noah didn't say, hey God, what about maybe if just me and my family kind of hike up to a mountain peak and kind of set up camp for a while till this whole flood thing's over with? I mean, I'm already 480 years old, and besides, What you're asking me to do sounds like a lot of unnecessary work to me. I can hang out on a mountaintop somewhere. There has to be an easier way to this, God. And this is going to take up a lot of my time. Instead, Noah just simply believed God was going to deliver him the only way he said he would deliver him, and that's through building an ark and getting on it. Sadly, for some Christians, we see the things that God calls us to do as either embarrassing, too demanding, or maybe just a little overwhelming. And so we begin to make excuses, or maybe we say, God, how about a plan B? But for Noah, God was calling him to do something that was going to be completely humiliating to those around him, spiritually challenging, physically and emotionally draining, and would take over a century to build. Noah was never seen trying to weasel his way out or make up some excuses or even seeking an alternative plan. You know, as I said a couple weeks ago, faith never has a plan B. Don't be afraid to look like a fool for God. It may be how he develops opportunities for you to tell others about him. Noah could have said, God, if you want me to tell others about you, don't you think that they would be more apt to believe me if I wasn't building something so foolish as a ship on dry land? See, it was the foolishness of what Noah was willing to do that gave him the opportunities to preach righteousness. And so when God calls us to do something in faith that seems foolish, he may be wanting to open up a door for us to share his gospel. Folks, plain and simple, a lot of times, God calls us to do something in faith, and it will require us to swim upstream while everybody else is swimming downstream. As a matter of fact, a Christian that lives by faith is usually a Christian that stands alone. Noah may have looked like a complete fool for about 100 or 120 years when he built the ark, but rest assured, those that drowned in the flood have looked like fools for 4,500 years. Where do you think Noah's extraordinary faith came from? It came as a result of him walking with God, it says. Walking with God is not accomplished on Sunday mornings. It's something done Sunday through Saturday. Walking with God is the Bible's way of saying that a person is God conscious all the time. When the Bible says that someone walks with God, it is saying being with God all the time in their thoughts, in their conversation, in their lifestyle. And it was because Noah walked with God 7 days a week and was with God in thought and conversation on a regular basis that he had faith to do what God called him to do. See, when we walk by faith as a lifestyle, we will have no problem having faith in him because we will be so familiar with his claims, so familiar with his character, so familiar with his abilities that believing him will become second nature to us. Now, I want to close this morning by pointing out one more thing that Noah did by faith. He entered the ark. There came a time after Noah finished this thing that God told him, go into the ark. That had to have taken a lot of faith for two reasons. There were still some unknowns. So far, Noah had built the ark, but he hadn't tested it yet. If he failed in the construction process, it could cost him dearly. Notice God did not have a plan B. He did not tell Noah to build a couple lifeboats in case the ark didn't work. And so that would have called for a lot of faith just to get on the ark. Secondly, it would have taken a lot of faith to get on the ark because he had to leave behind a lot of loved ones that he would never see again. As they entered the ark, they would be leaving behind a lot of loved ones on the outside of the ark. So as they walked up the ramp, I'm sure they probably looked back a time or two with a lot of tears in their eyes. Folks, that would have taken a lot of faith. We was talking on Wednesday the other night, and the question was, do you think they was ever tempted to get back off the ark? Because once they got on it, they had 7 days before the rain come. Their loved ones was a piece of wood on the other side of the wood facing God's judgment. For those eight people to enter the ark had to have been a real challenge to their allegiance. If their allegiance toward their family and friends was stronger than their allegiance to God, it would have cost them their lives. They would have looked good to their loved ones, but they would have looked like a fool to God. Instead, they looked like a fool to the people, but they looked wise to God. Here's the deal. The ark is a picture of God's vessel of salvation from judgment. And anyone that would have climbed on that ark would have been saved. But all those out here chose judgment. And so let me ask you, before we sing our final song, where are you right now? Are you on that ark of salvation? Are you standing outside facing judgment? Do you know what the determining factor was as to who would die in the flood of judgment versus those who would be saved from it? It's real simple. Who was in the ark? Who was outside the ark? Those outside of the ark, I'm sure, believed in God too. But they didn't believe God. Those in the ark lived. Those outside the ark died. I would imagine just about all of the people on the outside of that ark believed in God, but they didn't believe God, which is why they were on the outside of the ark when the judgment came. God is asking you today, not do you believe in me, but do you believe me? He says there is no hope. Noah could not find another way to survive that judgment. He was already blameless and righteous, and that was not going to save him from the judgment unless he was saved from it by the way God said he was to be saved. God says we have no way to obtain salvation outside of Jesus Christ. The way Noah put his faith in God in that ark, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the ark of salvation. If you have never climbed on the ark of Jesus Christ, today is that day. As the folks back then faced a coming judgment, those who are here on earth without Jesus today, you face a coming judgment as well. And I know God don't want that. The people here don't want that. I don't want that. So I ask you today, are you willing to climb on the ark of Jesus and be saved? And if so, you can come up here during this closing song. I'll be more than glad to talk with you, pray with you, talk with you after church when everybody's gone, if you want privacy, whatever. Whatever your questions are, whatever your comments are, I would love to show you the way to climb aboard of the ark of Jesus. Let me state, in case you weren't here earlier, we're having a meal here in a few moments, and you're welcome to stay. It doesn't matter if you brought anything or not. Matter of fact, we encourage you to stay. So please feel free to join us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this afternoon. The story of Noah is absolutely amazing, but it's also a story that we need to look at for ourselves. There's a judgment to come, and there's only one way to be saved, and it's your way. Plain and simple. No plan B, no alternative plans. We put on Jesus, and that's it. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I ask you to not leave them alone. Deal with their hearts until they yield to you. You don't call us to understand everything before we come to you. You call us to come to you in faith. So, Lord, anyone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, please work in their hearts and draw them to you for salvation, the gift that only you can give. Father, as we head in the back right now, I just pray that you will be with us in our time together. As we sit down and have a meal together, that we would carry out the one another's and love each other and be the church family you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to have this time. And while I'm thinking about it, Lord, I don't know if the Waldrons will be here a week from now. So, Lord, we want to lift them up to you as they look to leave us soon and go where you've got them going, that, Father, you would be with them. You will guide them each step of the way. Give them the wisdom they need, the resources they need. And, Lord, I'm sure they'll just give you glory through it all. And, Lord, in sake of Grace Baptist Church, we want to thank you for loaning them to us for the time we've had them. They have definitely been a true joy here. And we will miss them. In Christ's name, amen.